The scripture that I'd like to speak from today is John chapter 1 and verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This picture of light is such an amazing, good news picture of hope. There's no more encouraging picture in the whole Bible than the picture of light, because light is what we all need. We know that as we come into the darkest month of the year or the darkest week of the year, that we really value the light, don't we? Light gives life. Light gives truth. Light gives joy. Do you like the darkness? Some people might like the darkness. You know, if you stay up all through the night and just before the dawn, it's often at its darkest just before the dawn comes, isn't it? And we've been living through dark times, haven't we? Darkness comes when truth is not valued. Darkness comes where there's a lack of fairness, a lack of justice. Darkness comes where there's ignorance, when God's word is not known. Darkness comes when God is ignored. God is left out of our lives. God is not consulted. Darkness comes when, even when we don't realize it, our lives are under the control of the devil, the one who blinds us to the truth, blinds us to the love, blinds us to the life that God wants to give to us. Darkness comes when we are overwhelmed with sorrow. Darkness comes even to the believer when suffering comes into their life and they are so hurt and confused, and where is God? One of the Psalms, one of the most remarkable Psalms in the Bible, is Psalm 88, and it is full of faith and full of love for God. Prayers like, I call out to you, Lord. But do you know how it ends? The Psalm ends not on a high point. It ends with these words: you have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. That can also be the experience of the believer. A psalm written by the sons of Korah, but the sons of Korah also wrote other psalms like Psalm 43 and Psalm 44, where again there is a reality of how the suffering hits the believer. It hits the unbeliever and it hits the believer. But the believer has good news. The believer has light to draw from. And in this Psalm 43, we have this prayer: send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, send forth your light to me today. And then I will know you better. Then I will trust you more. Then I will worship you. Then I will go to you, my God, my Lord, my joy and my delight. And I will praise you with all that I have. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Speaking to himself, preaching to himself on a dark day, Put your hope in God, Alistair. Put your own name in there. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What enables the believer to have that perspective when suffering creates a darkness? A dark night of the soul. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And God has promised to shine his light into our lives. The God who said, "Let there be light," made his light shine into our hearts. And he does that. I pray that he's doing that today, right now. Send forth your light. Send forth your truth. Watching at home, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, my Savior. Send your light to me today, Lord. Send your light. See, God, who said, "Let there be light," promised light when there was no evidence of light. There was just darkness. We know from the prophecy of Isaiah, which Angus will unpack for us in more detail tonight. If you turn with me to it, Isaiah chapter 9. The chapter headings in the Bible are not always in the right place. And chapter 8 finishes with a description of darkness which has come over all of the northern kingdom of Israel, but particularly in a place called Galilee. Does it sound familiar? Galilee, do you remember who was from there? At the end of chapter 8, it says, "Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." 8th century BC. Spoken with as if it had already happened, but it hadn't happened. But it was spoken with prophetic faith, with certainty that it would happen. And Matthew in his gospel quotes this passage and says, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the one in whom the prophecy is fulfilled. And in Galilee, as he began his ministry, they said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Have you seen the light? Have you seen the light? By hearing the good news, the nevertheless gospel, the yes, it is dark, but God has done something incredible. He has sent his Son, Jesus, to us. And we pick it up from John chapter 1. All of the gospel writers draw on this metaphor of light. Even Zechariah, when he is speaking about the coming Messiah, he says the rising sun will come to us from heaven because of the tender mercy of our God to shine on those living in darkness. When Simeon holds the baby Jesus in his hands, he says, "This child has come as a light to all people." And John in his gospel, he tells us that this Jesus is greater than we could ever imagine. Sometimes I get carried away. I don't even bother with the slides. Have you noticed that? He's still with me. Okay, we're in John's Gospel. John's Gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of men and women and boys and girls. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Have you noticed the difference there? This verse can be translated in two ways. It can be translated, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Or it can be translated, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And this is typical of John, who is always working at different levels, and he's speaking to two people. So if you're here this morning and you are a believer and you are experiencing that dark night of the soul, you're experiencing that prayer, Lord, send your light to me because I am struggling today to understand. I'm struggling to have hope, even though I know I should have hope. It's Christmas time and I should be feeling full of joy, but I don't. I'm feeling really sad because of the things that I've seen, the things that are happening around me. And God says to you this morning, the darkness will not overcome you because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That was one of the last things that I said to Anne. It was the last thing I said to her was, as she was dying, I said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when a believer dies, they go immediately into the presence of God in perfect love, in perfect joy, in perfect bliss, all sins forgiven. And we as believers carry this glory within us when we have put our faith and trust in him. And the darkness will never overcome you, no matter how dark it is. And on the darkest moment, it is going to turn. The tide will turn. And God will shine his light once again. And you will praise him once again. But the other way that this can be translated, and both are legitimate translations, is the darkness has not understood it, or in the King James Version, the darkness has not comprehended it. And at this point, what John is speaking about is the people who have not yet trusted in Christ. They have not yet seen the light, or maybe they've seen the light and they've rejected the light. You see, light in John's Gospel is a light for all people, but some people reject that light, and then it becomes a light of judgment. Just read John 3. John 3, verse 19, after the famous verse that we've all memorized, but do we know John 3:19? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. I remember we were on holiday in Helmsdale in a caravan park, and I must have been about 5 or 6 because this memory is so vivid. And I lifted up this stone, and all the bugs went, They went fleeing for darkness. They loved the darkness. They hated the light. And sometimes when God's light is shining into our hearts to give us life and love and purpose and hope, there's something about the fact that we are stuck in our lives and we don't want to change and we are not prepared to come under the authority of Creator God. And we say, no, I don't want the light. And that's a fearful choice, friends. Don't go there. Don't go there. So John is speaking here, first of all, of the light of the glory of God. In verse 14, he says, the Word, which is the Son of God, who lived eternally, who always was and is to come. I was asked by my nephew last night, who made God? Wonderful question. I said, God always was, God always is, God always will be. Who made Jesus? Jesus always was, Jesus is, Jesus always will be. There's no beginning and end of the Word, Jesus. But there is a beginning of his earthly life, which was in Bethlehem. And when he was born, people saw his, looked into his face, even the shepherds, even the Magi, Mary, Joseph. But especially as he became a man and he started his public ministry, people saw that he was different. People saw that he was full of grace like no other human being. They saw that he spoke with truth like no other. And they concluded, especially after his resurrection, that he was not only sent by God, but he was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, he said, God, show me what you're like. Show me your glory. And God said, no one can see the face of God and live. Hide yourself in the cleft of the rock. And as I pass by, I'll put my hand over the cleft of the rock. I'll lift my hand and you will see my back. But no one can see my face and live. But Jesus lived among us that we could see God, and it was glorious, and it still is glorious, glorious. And the way that you receive the light is by hearing the gospel. God shines his light into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. As you look at the life of Jesus, who is he? Do you know who he is? Do you know he is God in the flesh? Do you know that he is life? Do you know that he is truth? Do you know that he is love? That he is everything that human beings need? He is salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid because Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Because God has sent his light to us, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And he is the light of life. He is, through him, all things were made. Think about that for a moment. When God said, let there be light, when God the Father said, let there be light, Jesus was involved. Proverbs 8:22, when the world was created, wisdom was there. Jesus was there. He was involved. There is nothing that you can talk to God about through Jesus that he will say, oh, that's too difficult for me. I don't understand that. That's beyond me. He flung stars into space and to cruel nails surrendered. He is the light of life. He is the origin of life with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's one thing to see it and be impressed by it. It's another thing to believe in it. And the way that the light becomes life is when we believe it. When we put our trust in the message of the gospel of the nevertheless, the but now. Yes, it's dark, but now Jesus is here. Jesus has come. Have you put your faith in this gospel, this good news? It's a hope message at Christmas. It's a hope message all through the year. Have you received him? Have you received the truth? The truth will set you free. There are many different lights. There are many different distractions. You think that getting distracted is just an issue of concentration. It's more than that. It's spiritual. There's a spiritual enemy who loves to distract us, who loves to place our eyes on other lights other than the true light, who is Jesus. And before we know it, we've not only wasted an hour, we've wasted a lifetime. I'm 52 years old, that's me. Became a Christian at 21. I wish I'd started earlier. I wish I'd started earlier. But God was with me. God was speaking to me. God was showing me. And one day, he gave me the grace to know that it wasn't about how much I could understand. It wasn't about how strong I was to follow or believe. It was about knowing that he was full of grace, and I had to receive the light, receive the light. Just think about your life, think about your job, think about your family, think about your future. Why would you not want to let God in? Why would you not want Jesus? Think about your eternal future, which could change ever so quickly. The truth will set you free. The God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbeliever so they cannot see the truth. But God has shone his light into our hearts that we may see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. How do we receive? John tells us in verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. What does that mean? That means that when you trust in Jesus Christ, when you do not reject him, and I trust this morning that very few of you are rejecting them. Why would you be so silly to reject Jesus? So I don't think there's many people wanting to reject him listening this morning. You wouldn't be tuning in if you were in that place. But maybe you haven't received him because you want to stay in control of your life. Hand over control to God, and you will be surprised, delighted, imagined. Things beyond your imagining are prepared for those who love and trust God. Life to the full. You become a child of God. At that moment of trust, you become a new creation. A power floods into your body, into your mind. You become a new person. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. The God who said, "Let there be light," He makes you into a new person when you trust in His Son, Jesus. Are you living in the light? You may have seen the light. You may have trusted in the light. Are you living in the light? Jesus said, "Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Are you living in the light? Are you living, trusting that His way is better than your way? That trusting not in your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledging Him. If you want this light, life to the full, you have to submit to Him. Like Mary, who said, "I don't understand, but may it be as you said, according to your word." Are you sharing the light? Are you sharing the light? Remember the shepherds, how they looked into the face of the baby Jesus and they went walking and leaping and praising God, and they shared what they had seen and heard. Are you going to take a Christmas card on the way out today? Please don't leave them in the box. We're supposed to be an evangelical church. Share that good news. Give the card away to someone. What's the worst that could happen? It's not that hard. And you will bless somebody. You might even be the means by which someone will come to know the light and life of God, even if they just watch the video. So let us shine like stars as we hold out the gospel, as we hold out the word of life. Put your hope in God, the light, the life, the truth. Amen. I'm going to sing our final song, "O Little Town."